And so you can be prepared, possibly, for what is to come. Let me ask you a question. How well are you at heeding warnings? Heeding warnings. How well are you at paying attention to the warnings? Yes. Do you need one? You know, we have those, Mary Lou. We have those little hearing things. Would you like some? Would you like some? Okay. Would you fix her up, please? And anybody else who has need of that, we'll fix you up. So, I don't want you to misunderstand or miscommunicate what I share this morning. I ask myself, how well am I at heeding warnings? I guess it depends on who's warning me. And also, if I want to do it or not. A few weeks ago, you remember probably on the news where they were warning these people in California to move out of their homes because they were afraid there was going to be a mudslide. And many people did not heed the warning. And many people were killed because they did not heed the warning. I don't know if you are aware of it or not, but you remember in 1912, but the story of the Titanic, there were actually six warnings the Titanic had regarding the icebergs and the ice flow that was impeding danger for them. And one report came in telling them the longitude and latitude and telling them how wide the ice flow was, and how large the ice pack was, and warned them not to go any further. But the Titanic continued to go at 22 and a half knots, heading straight for the ice field. Now, when they got within the range of what was called Cape Race Station, at that time, they had just come out with a system called the Marconi system where they could transmit over the waves to these different areas. And so they came in range of 400 miles to Cape Race Station. And the man who was responsible for the wireless system began to transmit communication from the passengers on board to Cape Race Station. And as he was communicating to the Cape Race Station, there was a fellow named Cyril Evans, the Marconi operator on another ship, the Californian, was also trying to send him messages, warning him of the icebergs. Now, at that time in 1912, the Marconi system was in its infancy, and so it was, you know, there was these static and everything else, and so this is what Phillips translated back to Evans. He said, shut up, I am busy, I'm working Cape Race. Evans, on the Californian, turned off his transmitter, went to bed. His ship stopped for the night due to ice. It was less than an hour away from the Titanic. But he had turned off his receiving Marconi system, and so he just went to sleep. Tragic mistake on the part of the Titanic as well as the part of Cyril Evans for not heeding warnings. As we're going through the book of Hebrews, we're in Hebrews chapter 2. You know, I enjoy preaching on the love of God. I enjoy preaching on the mercy of God. I enjoy preaching on the grace of God. I enjoy preaching on the fluffiness of God. He's a wonderful, almighty creator, God. I mean, he's just an awesome, awesome, awesome God. But when God gives us warnings, I would be remiss to not share that with you as well. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we're going to read this, and he gives us warnings in this passage of Scripture. He says, and let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Before I continue, Miss Pam, would you pray for me as I begin, please?
Father, I come to you right now and ask you to lift up Pastor Brad and pray that you would anoint him today with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak the words that you have for him to speak to us, that they would come to you clearly, that you'd open our ears to hear and his voice to speak.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So before we, let's read that together. The first of first verse in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read that together. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. That was verse 1. Okay, you may be seated. So, there's a looming disaster. And the warning is, do not drift away from the truths that is presented. So why would, after a person receives Christ, why would a person begin to drift away? Well, there's probably many reasons, but I want to share with you four that I feel is probably most prominent among Christians. The first one is, they aren't aware of the treasure they have. They aren't aware of the treasure they have. We had a fellow in our church some time ago. Well, they were getting ready to move, and they had a yard sale. And so as they were getting ready to move, work, and his wife was selling things, this football, and she was sold the football, and he came home and said, what did you do with my football? I said, well, I sold it at a yard sale. Well, it had a signature on it, and you may be familiar with the name. It was O.J. Simpson.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. She was not aware of the value of that football. I went online to find out some of the best yard sale finds. And so here's what I discovered. There was this cat, a picture of this cat, that they tried to sell at a yard sale. And nobody wanted it. And so they threw it in the garbage. Somebody retrieved it. It was a 2,500-year-old bronze cat, originated in Egypt. The cat was left over after the yard sale. It dates back to 500 to 700 B.C., prominent London dealer purchased it for $80,000. How would you like to find that in the trash?
Yeah,
I was not aware of this, but in 1820, William Stone was asked to make 200 copies of the Declaration of Independence. It was believed that only 35, and this is the next slide, TJ. It was believed that there was only 35 in existence, but Michael Stone went to a yard sale. He bought some salt and pepper shakers and this piece of paper, Declaration of Independence, for $2.48. And he realized that this was one of the 200 that Mr. Stone had written, and he sold it at auction for $477,650.
Wow.
So Andy Fields purchased what he thought was a child's drawing at a yard sale. He purchased it for like $5. And it happened to be a child's drawing, but it happened to be Andy Warner, who was
Warhol.
I forgot to put that in my notes. I'm glad you guys know. He was 10 years old, lying in bed with cholera, and drew this picture. And that's the next one up. And so he bought it for $5, and it's valued at $2 million. And for some reason, Mr. Field has not chosen to part with it. A New York family purchased a five-inch piece of china for $3 at a yard sale in 2007. In March of 2013, the family put the bowl up for auction, where the winning bid was from a British art dealer for $2.2 million. This next slide is an intricately carved four-post bed. Was in a motel room, a hotel, and they were remodeling the hotel and put this out on the parking lot. And so a fella comes by and he says, "Hey, I would like to have that bit." They said, "Okay." And so he sold it for $3,080. Over a period of time, they discovered through DNA that this was a bed that King Henry VII had slept on back in 1450s. And so it's worth $28 million. They put it in a museum. I want to ask you a question. What would you feel like if you had that $5 ceramic bowl and you sold it for $5 at your yard sale? Feel stupid. Man, I'd be kicking myself from now till eternity. That would be horrible. I'm sure it got made up somehow. But that would have been horrible. It would have been nice to find that King Henry VII bed. But just throwing it out on the parking lot, that would have been horrible. But the treasure you have in Jesus Christ is greater than any treasure that you could even imagine.
Amen.
And there are some people, and I think there are some Christians who let that slip away. And they don't value it like it ought. The Lord ought to be valued. They allow that relationship of the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord, just to slip away. because they don't value what they have. And it is the greatest treasure you will ever have in your life. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And yet some people let it slip away. And so the warning is, do not let this fellowship, do not let this relationship slip away. That's the warning. And some people let it slip away because they don't know the value. Another reason people let that relationship or fellowship slip away is because of discouragement. Sometimes the road God takes us on is a very difficult road. It's not all peaches and cream. Have you found that out in your Christian life? If you've been walking with the Lord for very long, there are times when the road gets tough. It just gets difficult. And people, when it gets difficult, people begin to fall away. They begin to drift away. You do remember the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt? And Scripture says, when they came out of Egypt and went through the Red Sea, and was in the wilderness, that God allowed them to go through the wilderness to test them. And do you remember what the children of Israel did? They grumbled. They complained. And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We had it better in Egypt as a slave than we had here in the wilderness. Just somebody take us back to Egypt. It's easy to get discouraged when we don't keep our focus on the Lord. It's easy to get discouraged when we forget about the promises that He has made to us. All through Israel's, well, during the time of Moses and him trying to get them to come along beside him to move out of Egypt, God did some wonderful things to him and for them. And God, Moses continued to remind them of the promises, and they moved out, but they would only go so far. Because they became discouraged. And some of you have gone through and are walking through some difficult times in your life right now. I know that because you've told me. Okay? Some of you have, maybe not all of you. But I want to encourage you that if you will hold on, if you will just hold on and keep your focus on the Lord, keep your focus on His promises, that the Lord will come through for you. You may be in a testing time right now. You may be in the greatest test you've ever been in. But the Lord will be there, and He is there at this time. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. God is on the throne. He knows what's going on. He hasn't forgotten about you. He has a plan in all of this. I'm going to be going to see my mom in a couple of weeks. Actually, next Tuesday, I'm flying out of here. Not this week, following week. And I've got a pastor coming to preach for me. His name is Joel Royce. If you've been going through your prayer list and your bulletin, he's listed there under Joel. I met Joel last year, spoke with him on the phone first, and then saw him and visited with him in November. Joel has a cancerous tumor on the brain. Doctors had given him like 6 months to live, if I remember correctly. But in November, I felt the Lord wanted me to invite him to come and preach here at this church when I was gone in March. Now, the doctors wasn't sure he would be alive on March 4th. But I really felt in my heart he needed to come here. And so I invited him to come And he's still planning to come and preach and bring his wife and 7 children. I want you to continue to pray for Joel and his wife. His wife was married, had 2 children, and then her husband was killed in a logging accident when she was 21 years old. And now she's married to Joel Royce, wonderful young man, 37 years old, with a diagnosis of his impending death. So here's what I want you to do. Do you think that could be discouraging to him or her? Do you think that would be difficult to walk through? Boy, my heart goes out to them. But here's what I know about this church. This church knows how to love. And this church knows how to pray healing prayers. Okay? So when they're here, I want you guys to gather around them. And I want you to pray for them. I don't have to be here. The healing doesn't come from me. The healing comes from the Lord.
Right.
Okay? The healing comes from... I don't have to be here. And so I've chosen this time to go visit my mom. But I also would like for you guys to take up a love offering for them. Okay? I'd like for you guys to do that for them. And bless them when they come here on March 4th. Okay? So I know the Lord is bringing him here, and I'm hoping and believing that the reason he's bringing him here is so that he can receive some healing that he's not received before. Okay? Here's what I've discovered in my Christian life. The worst day that I have walking with the Lord is better than the best day I had walking without Him. That's what I know. And I don't care where you are in your walk right now in regards to how discouraging or difficult it is. Paul said, David said in the Psalms, I think it was David, one of the psalmists said, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. The darkest hour is just before the dawn. So just keep hanging on. Keep hanging on. Keep hanging on. Don't quit. Another reason people slip away, and I think maybe this is a maybe the underlying for most of it, and that is fear. In looking back at the children of Israel, I think a lot of... not only were they discouraged, I think they were afraid. As a matter of fact, when God was trying to lead them into the promised land, you remember? He was trying to lead them into Canaan, trying to lead them into the promised possession that God had promised them. Why didn't they go in? They were afraid. They were afraid. And I think that's probably the crux for most people who slip away. They become afraid. They don't believe. So, a lot of times, perhaps, we begin to slip away because we think, what will other people say? If I'm obedient to the Lord, if I'm doing what He wants me, what are other people going to say? And so we kind of take a back step and say, man, I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want people to think, I'm a weird person. Listen, you're weird. Okay? You're just weird. All of us are. So, don't pretend to be otherwise. Okay? We're just weird that way. God has wired us to be different than the world. And they're not going to understand if you're standing up for the Lord and doing what He would have you do. They don't understand self-sacrifice. They don't understand loving others above yourself. They don't understand that. So just understand that you're going to be weird to them. Okay? You don't have to try to act weird. just comes natural. People say then there's this fear of what will the Lord require of me? What will the Lord require of me? What if He asked me to do something I don't want to do? And so we allow fear to be our Lord than allowing Jesus Christ to be our Lord. Can I ask you who runs the show in your life? Is it fear? Is it discouragement? Now, I want you to answer this question. Following the Lord, it takes sacrifice, right? So let me ask you, is the reward worth the sacrifice? Yes. And you need to answer that for yourself. I know what my answer is. Okay? I know what my answer is. The reward is always, always, always greater than the sacrifice. Another question fear may cause you to ask is, what's going to happen if I put myself out there? What if I open myself up and truly love? What if I get hurt? What if you get hurt? Did God promise you would never get hurt? Did He command you to love? So, is it fear that's keeping you from opening up, being transparent, and loving other people? So let's just say you get hurt. Can the Lord heal those wounds? Yes. Jesus said, one of the first things He said in His message, first message, He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. That's what He said. He didn't say, I came to keep you from getting hurt. He knew there was going to be brokenheartedness. He knew there was going to be pain. He knew that you're going to be facing things that were going to cause wounds in the depths of your heart. And so He says, my Father sent me to heal you from broken heart. That's what I came to do. That's what I came to do. But listen, we don't understand the value Jesus is to us. We don't understand everything He can do for us. We don't understand the healing He can do to us emotionally, physically. We don't understand that. And I think because we don't understand Him, we begin to slip away from Him. We think, man, it's too hard, it's too hard, it's too hard. But what if the Lord is helping you to come closer to Him through the difficulties and trials and discouragement that you faced? If He knows by going through a difficult season in your life, it will bring you into a better relationship with Him, He's going to allow you to do that. Because he wants a good relationship with you. It's not easy, but it's worth it. So I want to ask you a question. What's hindering you? What are you afraid of? What's keeping you from giving your life to Christ totally? Some people just want to put their toe in the water. Test it out. And other people are ready just to dive in and just put it all out there. So where are you? Another reason people slip away from the Lord is because they become distracted. They become distracted. There was a pastor who told this story about his son. He was trying to teach him how to ride his bicycle. And so they had taken the training wheels off. The pastor was pushing his son and said, "Okay, I want you to go this way, but do not hit the rose bush. Don't hit the rose bush. You go all the way here. Don't hit the rose bush." So gave the kid a shove, and the kid hit the rose bush. So he gets him, wipes him down, hugs him. "It's okay. Now, when you get on your bicycle, I'm going to give you a shove, and don't hit the rose bush." Gave him a shove, kid going down, and he hits the rose bush again. He does this 3 times. The pastor thought, "Well, what if I gave him something to aim at rather than what not to aim at?" So he says, "Okay, son, I want you to go down this little path here, and when you get near that tree, I want you to stop." So the kid gets on there and goes down the path. He doesn't hit the rose bush. He doesn't hit the tree. And he stops. Do you know we normally aim at what we're looking at? And we begin to focus. Whatever we focus on is where we wind up. And so if we began focusing on these side issues, and I'll let you know, I can tend to get driven off if we get into political things. Okay? I can tend, so I have to kind of draw myself back and say, "Okay, let's stay focused." I can be taken off track this way. Somebody does something really stupid to me. I can get off. Okay, wait. Got to get focused. Because here's the problem. Many times our focus should be on the Lord, and what happens is we get distracted by these other things, and pretty soon we're slipping away. Let me ask you a question. What attracts your focus? What commands your attention? Whatever commands your attention, that's what you're going to be going after. And if it's not the Lord, then you're going to be slipping away. In any of these things, whether it's not understanding the value of the Lord, whether it's being discouraged, whether it's being in fear, or whether it's being distracted, the Lord's saying, "Hey, you're way off over here. Would you come back to me? Would you come back to me?" And you know what? And here's the wonderful value. what we need to do is just ask God, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me for being distracted with these other things? Lord, would you forgive me for devaluing you and my relationship with you? Lord, would you forgive me for not being faithful to you and letting fear take control of my life? Lord, would you forgive me for the distractions? I want my heart right with you. There are many of you, perhaps, who have slipped away. And the Lord is saying, would you please come back to me and do not slip away from the truths which you have embraced. When I first became a Christian, I experienced joy, peace, a lot of the wonderful fruit that the Lord has for His children. But as most children, I got my eyes off the Lord. I began focusing on other things. And when that happened, I lost my joy. I lost the peace that the Lord had given me. You know, we talked about the Titanic and the message that was sent by Phillips. I feel like that the Lord is trying to say something to us this morning. And there may be some of you who are saying, like Phillips did, shut up, shut up. I'm doing my own thing. And God is saying, wake up, wake up. You're sliding away. We're going to have an invitation here in just a few minutes. I'm going to be here at the front. If you found yourself slipping away and you want to come back to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come and let me pray for you. Or come to the altar and pour it out to the Lord. You need to make a decision for the Lord. It's easy to slip away. But the rewards are great when you continue to move in the direction the Lord has. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I want to thank you for your word to us. I thank you for the warnings. And Lord, if there's ever been a warning we need to pay attention to, this is one that we need to pay attention to. Lord, there are other warnings in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to be addressing those. But Lord, you're calling your children back to you. Those who have slipped away. And Father, I pray today that there would not be one person here that would tell you to shut up. Shut up. I'm doing my own thing. Lord, speak to our hearts. Move in our lives. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. And I'm inviting you to come talk to the Lord.